Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. They're very familiar words, aren't they? If we've been in church for a while, we will know these words. But this year, I just want to think about the fact that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I was reminded the other day, I was watching something, and I was reminded of the Christmas truce. Do you remember in 1914 when the soldiers, the German soldiers and the English soldiers, just down tools, came out, played football, exchanged their cigarettes and told each other their names and their family. And for one day in that four-year war, there was peace. And everyone hoped that it would all be over by Christmas. That was the standard thing. And, of course, they then carried on killing each other for years afterwards. But it showed that actually the peace could be there if we can down our tools. And we're all capable of peace and love, but we're also, unfortunately, all capable of war and hate, aren't we? And 2,000 years on from when Jesus was born, and 700 years before that, these words were written, we see the same problems going on in our world as there was then. So these verses are what we call a prophetic word. They are a prophecy of what is going to happen, given by the prophet Isaiah, into a world in which there was absolute mayhem going on then, and prophesying that Jesus would come into their darkness. So in verse 2, we see he is the light dawning in darkness. And we've been in a sort of dark world this year, I think. The world has been dark all over the place. This nation has been in a slight uproar. The States, much the same. South Africa is much the same. In fact, I could name country after country in which there is uproar. But those are the countries represented here. I think Jamaica's been okay. You know, we just seem to see a shaking going on in all the nations, and we wonder why. But there is great darkness in many people's lives. And we just need to think about the fact that Jesus comes, says he is the light of the world. And in verses 6 and 7, we have this incredible declaration that he has been given all authority by God. That Jesus is not just a person come to do good. He is the Son of God. We know that. And he has been given the authority of God to speak and act into this world. The government will be on his shoulders. And in our world, in secular times, and in many other areas of the world, and in different religions, etc., we forget that Jesus has the government on his shoulders. We have governments, civil governments, but Jesus actually has the government on his shoulders. I've said it three times, so I hope it's going in. And that actually, that is his mandate. That is what God sent him into the world to be. To carry this world back to God. And he's called these incredible names, isn't he? Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. There's quite a collection there of different sorts of things, isn't there? One minute he's a counselor, he's a father, he's mighty God, he's also Prince of Peace. And because he's the Prince of Peace forever, from now on and forevermore, he's going to establish and uphold justice and righteousness. From that time on, when we celebrate his coming into the heaven on earth, coming into the kingdom of this world. Justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And it's God's zeal that will accomplish it. It's not our zeal, although our zeal is great if we have a bit of that, but it's God's zeal that will accomplish it. It is a done deal, in other words. This is what God has decreed. And he has decreed that, just like the Micah prophecy that said that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, he has decreed all this 700 years before it happened. Which kind of blows our head away, doesn't it? So a counselor, what does a counselor bring? Well, we hope a counselor brings lots of love, guidance, wisdom, truth, listens, speaks when necessary. Mighty God, that as we looked on Sunday, Jesus is the incarnation on earth. God come to earth. That baby in the stable, in the lowest of low places. Everlasting Father. Now, many of us struggle with God as Father because we may not have had a very good father figure in our own lives. So we can sometimes feel that God is stern and is going to judge us all the time. And yes, God will ask us to give an account of our lives and our thoughts and our hearts and our actions. But he is a father in the sense that he loves us, cares for us, and keeps us safe. And that's one I think we really do need to know. But the last one is Prince of Peace. And peace in the Bible is not just an absence of war. It is a state of being. It is shalom, as the Jews would say. And shalom is bringing calm into chaos. That is the true definition of it. Establishing calm where there is only chaos. That is what peace here means. And there's going to be this government by Jesus until the end of eternity. Who knows when that is? Let's turn now to Luke 2, shall we? Again, a terribly familiar passage. Starting with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Other translations will say, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." I think I prefer this one. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. So the angels are fulfilling the prophecy. They're announcing the fulfillment of the prophecy that Isaiah made. They come to tell these lowly, lowly shepherds, who are the lowest of the low, complete social outcasts. They are the worst thing and thought very badly of. They're not even allowed to give evidence in court because their word is not taken as any good. So they are the worst people in society, and the angels have come to announce the fulfillment of this great prophecy in Isaiah that they probably know, though they wouldn't have understood it. And it says, he's here. Go see him and worship him, essentially, that's what they're saying. And then in order to back up the merit of their statement, they comes in a heavenly choir. If you can imagine that choir in the mall, times, 10,000, a heavenly choir appears and sings, "O Holy Night." It's amazing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. So because there is glory to God, the presence of God, you remember the word of glory often really reflects the word, the presence of God. Because of that, there will be peace on the earth. So the incarnation of Jesus brings peace, brings goodwill, brings favor. And yet we look at our world and we say, what's gone wrong? Can we be at peace? Are we at peace? Are we calm and at peace within ourselves? Can we be content within ourselves? Can we be in that state of being content? And for many, many people in the world, it is the hardest thing to try and be content in a world where so much has gone wrong. I was reading a passage from Tear Fund, who are working in Syria and also in the refugee camps in Jordan, and I see that Syria's flared up again this week and is now making the news. And this is a very short extract from a Tear Fund account about the fallout of some of the Syrian atrocities. It says, many refugees are traumatized by all the things they have witnessed in Syria. As well as delivering psychological and emotional support to children in the preschools, we also provide trauma care for Syrian women who are now refugees in Jordan. One woman lost her daughter in the fighting after sending her out to buy something. Grief, guilt, and trauma meant Sharifa, as they've called this lady, didn't speak for 3 months after the killing. She fled the fighting and arrived in Jordan, where she attended Tear Fund-supported counseling sessions run in conjunction with the local church. Within 2 weeks, she was speaking again. With trauma care from Tear Fund, refugees are given a chance to grow in an atmosphere of forgiveness and wholeness, building foundations for the future, even as the war continues to tear their homeland apart. And it still does. And I was just struck by how traumatic our world can be, that it will affect us that much, that it would actually mean we can't speak. We become mute because it is so traumatic what we have seen. Now, we in this country hope that those sorts of things are not happening here. But all of us have traumas and difficulties in our lives. And we have to try and get an understanding that if we have Jesus in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, we can have that peace that enables us to cope in all ways. Because Jesus is that peace. And we see conflict all over the place between different religions. We see conflict in families. We see conflict in society. And we see conflict in our nations. And we see conflict within ourselves. I don't know about you, but I've often had a lot of conflict within myself, beating myself up. Because I feel, I'm not good enough in some way or another. And so I beat myself up. So I'm not at peace. I'm much better at that with that than I used to be. But if we can't make peace within ourselves and be content with ourselves, it's far more difficult to make our peace with God and to accept Jesus. I think you'd agree with that, yeah. So the question this morning is, are you at peace or are you in some form of war within yourself? See, as I said earlier, peace is not an absence of war or activity. It's not sitting on the sofa watching something good or doing something easy or talking to a loved one. That often can be very anxious. This is a definition of peace. a state of rest, calmness, tranquility, perfect well-being. That's a secular definition. I would add, living in the presence of Jesus. And peace is also about harmonious relationships between God and mankind, between person to person, nation to nation. So the question is it possible for us to be at peace? For all of us in our worlds, is it possible? And I would argue that yes, it is. Because of Jesus, when we're reconciled to God through Jesus, who brought peace into this world, and we live in the presence of Jesus, then I believe we can have the settledness of his rule in our hearts and our souls and be at one with him in heart and mind, which allows us to be free to be who he created us to be. We are all unique individuals. There are no other ones like you in the world. You're a unique and valued and loved individual. God loved you so much that he sent his only son into the world so that you will not perish but will have eternal life. John 3:16. That is the truth. And the world is missing it. And I also believe that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can abide in this peace. Jesus tells us to abide. So we're at peace when we fill our hearts with his peace. We are also at peace when we receive Jesus' words that he says in the Gospel of John. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That is what Jesus says before he went to the cross. And those are his words to each one of us. So will we surrender to that and allow that to happen? Or will we say, no, I've got, etc. Will we put on love and grace? In Colossians it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. And I do believe that an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness is very, very helpful in letting this peace come in. Just be thankful. Sometimes we need to take the war out of our own hearts, don't we? And it can start with us. We can infect our neighbours, the people next door, how we're feeling about them, what is our behaviour towards them. Everything we do will affect others. And so we want to bring peace, don't we, into our world at this time. However wounded we are in our lives, we still have the capacity to make a choice to bring peace to others and love and be gracious to others, or to be anxious or fight battles. And anxiety will rob you of peace in 2 seconds flat. So I've finished by just giving you this. Another, this is another sort of prophetic word from Isaiah, pre-Jesus, and saying of God, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So I'll just say that again. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And just now we offered one another the peace of the Lord. And that is the peace that I've been talking about. It's not just have a nice day. It's a lot more than that. And we offer that one to another in love. And we share that peace because we are all joined together as one family. Whatever our earthly families are, we are a spiritual family. And that is why we can rejoice this day, whatever is going on in our lives. And I know that for many, it's difficult. Life is difficult. But we can rejoice and be at peace because we have Jesus living in us and our minds are steadfast because we can trust in him. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. That promise is true then and is true now. So let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to us this day. We thank you that we can receive your peace now. And if you need to say that to Jesus, just say that to him now. I receive your peace. Just quietly in your heart, just say, I receive your peace, Jesus, today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and that you came to bless us, to restore our relationship to God, to save us, to love us, to show us our value, and to bring us eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, today we pray for all those for whom Christmas is a really difficult time, for those who may have been bereaved this year. And if you have people you know who've been bereaved, or if you have been bereaved yourselves, then we just want to ask the Lord to come alongside every one of those people and let them know that they are not alone. And we pray for those who are on their own, for whom nobody is going to pop in and see them or be with them. We pray for all those people that you will be with them, Lord Jesus, this day, that they will feel your presence, even if they don't know you, but they will be able to find peace in their hearts today. And we pray for all of our nation and the other nations represented here, Lord, that we might be the peacemakers in our nation, that as Christians we might come because we know that you are the Prince of Peace and offer your peace one to another. And it is right to pray for the peace of the world at this time. And we thank you that the world does stop mostly on this day, but we also thank you for the 3 million people in this country that are working on this day. We pray that you will bless them mightily. And especially all those in our hospitals and care homes who are giving of themselves this day to care for others. Father, we thank you for their willing hearts. And we offer ourselves up to you today and ask for your blessing over us, that we might be the peacemakers, the receivers of your peace from today and from now on. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.